Good to see you guys. Let's get our Bibles and open them up to Acts chapter 28, covering verses 1 through 10. I want to read the first few verses here, and then we'll jump into it together and kind of tear it apart. But notice what it says here in verse 1. It says, "Now when they had escaped, then they found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live.' But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that the safest place we can be is right in the middle of your call. Wherever it is you've called us to be, Lord, whatever it is you've called us to do, that is the safest place for us to be. And I thank you for that. And I pray, God, for each of us that if we're not in the middle of your will, if we're not in the middle of what you've called us to do, Lord, that we would now listen for your voice to find out your will, Lord. And then once we hear it, that we would step out boldly and do it. Because, Lord, we know that's where you want us to be. We know that's where we need to be, God. And we know, again, as I said, that's the safest place for us to be. And as we look at Paul today, Lord, surviving this shipwreck, being on the Isle of Malta, now bitten by a snake, it seems to go from bad to worse. Through all of it, you were faithful to him. And God, you're going to be faithful to us as well. And I pray now that as we look at your word this morning, God, you would just encourage us, you would strengthen us. God, you would build us up, you would feed us, you would teach us. And Lord, again, just do the work that you want to do in your people through your Holy Spirit this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, although it may not seem like it sometimes, the safest place for us to be, guys, is oftentimes in the middle of God's will. And you might think, well, wait a minute, Mark, that seems to me to be the safest place. Well, yeah, it might, unless God calls you to go to some dangerous country. If God calls you to go into Iran and share the gospel, you might be thinking, well, that's not the safest place to be. Or if God tells you to go into Iraq or Saudi Arabia or wherever it might be, and God says, share the gospel, you might be thinking, no, that's not the safest place to be. But what the Bible teaches, and I'm convinced the Bible teaches, is wherever God calls you, that is the safest place for you to be. Because God will supernaturally protect you in that place until he has completed in you what it is that he wants to do. Now, where we last left off last week, it was a very exciting place with Paul and over 200 prisoners and soldiers experiencing a shipwreck and just making it to shore on the island of Malta. And I was trying to imagine what this must have been like. Imagine you're out at sea, it's dark, the storm is raging, you've been out there for weeks, you're scared, you don't know if you're going to live or not. Now you think you're going to live because Paul has, you know, said God spoke to him and you're going to make it to this island. You see the island. The ship gets stuck on something off of the island before you get there. The boat is torn apart and everyone's thrown into the water. And you're fighting the waves and the foam. And those of you guys that have been to the beach, you know what it's like if you're out there a little bit too far and it gets a little scary all of a sudden. And you're fighting this. Imagine it being pitch dark. And imagine it being a storm that's so bad, seasoned sailors believe they were going to die. And now you're trying to make it to shore and you're grabbing whatever, board sticks, things that are broken, coughing, choking, getting. Finally, you make it to shore, collapsing on the shore. You make it to the Isle of Malta. This would have been quite the dramatic event. And that's where we take up today. And notice there it says, when they had escaped, note that, then they found out that the island was called Malta. Now, again, they survived the shipwreck, and now they find out they're on an island called Malta. It is interesting that Malta has two meanings. One is escape, and one is honey. And I find that very interesting because notice it says here, they have just escaped. How appropriate the name is that the actual island they got to is an island of escape. And they had just escaped from this terrible storm. And it also means honey. And again, what a moment of sweetness it must have been just to crawl up on that shore and finally be off that boat. You know, it's like, Lord, thank you. You rescued me. And not only did you rescue me, you know, this land is sweet. It's kind of like one of those where somebody kisses the ground experience, right? And note this, guys, this is what God often does in some of our biggest storms. God will allow us to go through a huge storm, or God will even send us through a huge storm, but he will always make a way of escape. Note that. God will always make a way of escape, and when he does, it will not only be a way of escape, it'll oftentimes be one of the sweetest places we've been in a long time. And that's God's faithfulness. And why would God do this? Because again, God wants to grow us, God wants to mature us and test us. But guys, when we go through these horrible storms like Paul just did, God also wants to restore us. And he wants to show us his kindness. You know, you read the Psalms and the psalmist will say, Lord, why have you forgotten me? You know, am I ever going to be restored? Are things ever going to be better? Have you ever felt that way? I have. Lord, is it ever going to get better? Is it always going to be this dark? Is it always going to be this situation? God has always been faithful to give me a way of escape, and he's always made it sweet afterwards. He sweetens the pot, if you will, and that's exactly what he does here. But that's interesting as well, because honey in Scripture is also mentioned as something that strengthens us. And we need strengthening after traveling through a storm like this. So here's the point. No matter how difficult of a time we go through, God will always give us a way of escape. He'll add some sweetness, and then God will strengthen us. Is God good or what? That's the God we serve. And now Paul's experiencing this. And notice it says, verse 2, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. So again, although it mentions here they're natives, guys, note this. We tend to think about people with paint on their face and all this, and there could have been some of that, but the word native here really is simply speaking about those that were local. You guys are native to Tennessee if you're from here. Wherever you're from, you're native to that area. That's what this word is. So don't get a picture of necessarily barbarians, although your Bible may say that. In that day, if you didn't speak Greek, they referred to you as a barbarian, because the word barbarian comes from bar, hearing different languages. And they're saying, you can't even understand what they're saying. It sounds like bar. So they call them barbarians. That's where it comes from. And so this right here is not really what's happening. Although, again, you may see that, as I said, in some of your translations. We need to retranslate it to what it really means so we understand it today. This was actually a developed island. There were Roman citizens here. There were retired Roman soldiers here. And notice it says they showed them unusual kindness due to the rain and the cold. They must have been Southerners, right? They showed them unusual kindness. But again, this is important to me. More importantly, guys, remember this. When we go out and we do what God tells us to do, even in the midst of storms and all that happens, God will move in the hearts of the people around us to be kind to us. Now, I wish it was 100% of the time. It's not always 100% of the time. Sometimes people can be really mean to us, especially in the hard times. But if you're serving the Lord and you're going out in the Lord's name, God will make sure that he brings people along that are kind to you and that encourage you. And that's exactly what God's doing. We saw what he did with the captain of the ship, or rather the Roman guard that was over Paul. We saw what he did while he was there, even in prison, how they took special care of him there when he was in Caesarea. And now we see that he lands on Malta, and God moves in the hearts of the people to show them unusual kindness. And again, it just shows the goodness of the Lord. And so they're there. They're now trying to survive, no doubt under some type of shelter. It's raining, it's cold. The people are being kind to them, but they have to build a fire. They have to make beds. They have to kind of make their home ready, if you will. And notice verse 3, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now again, it's interesting to look at Paul here as he's serving. Paul goes out and starts serving again, and that was what Paul was by nature. He was a servant. He goes out and begins to gather firewood, you know, to bring in for the fire. And by the way, if you want to see a true leader, you look for a servant. Anybody can say they're a leader. A servant is somebody who's going to have dirt on their hands every so often. They're going to be doing something. They're not going to be standing around watching everyone else do it. That's a true leader. That was Paul. Paul was a leader, and Paul was a servant. And as Paul steps up here and begins to serve these guys, he goes and grabs some firewood, throws it on the fire, and hiding in the firewood, and this would have freaked you out later, to know that you picked up a bundle of sticks, and inside that firewood, there was a viper in there. I remember moving some tires one time and just grabbing these tires by the rim and throwing them and getting them and loading them, whatever. And after I got them all loaded in the car, we got up there to load them out. And start loading them out, this big snake comes out of one of them, you know. And I realized, okay, I was already grabbing with that guy, you know, already the way he was. But the bottom line was, he was a black snake. But some of you are saying, if you're like my wife, it doesn't matter. Kill them all anyway. But it was just a black snake. But still, it's kind of a freaky thing to think I was just holding those tires and that thing was in there hiding, you know. And not that they would, even a black snake would do that much. But I think of Paul. And he grabs this bundle of sticks, and it was a deadly viper. Now, Malta was known for its deadly vipers. There was a specific viper there that was extremely poisonous in Malta. I remember when we did a missions trip to the Philippines. We stayed in a particular area, and we were talking about what they had, the kind of animals they had. I said, do you have any snakes here? Well, yeah, we got lots of snakes. And out back, they said, we found a cobra not too long ago. And they had these cobras, and they had this brown snake. And they said the cobra is extremely venomous. If you get bitten by a cobra, you know, you want to get to the hospital within, I don't know, it was 30 minutes or as quickly as you can and get all the anti-venoms or whatever, you know, you could die and be in big trouble. I said, what about the brown snakes? And if you see one of the brown snakes or if one of those bites you, go over to the nearest tree and sit down. I said, what do you mean? He said, because you'll die in about 30 seconds and you might as well be seated in a comfortable place. I'm like, great, welcome to the Philippines, you know. But you know, I was thinking, that's pretty wild. This was, I don't know how poisonous this particular viper was on this island, but Paul picked it up. And it was known to kill people. It was a deadly viper, if you will. And so we're going to see that Paul picks it up, throws it on the fire. This thing, because of the heat, comes flying out of the fire, latches on to Paul's hand. And again, God protects him and he remains unharmed. And this is amazing. You know why? Because Paul was doing what God had called Paul to do. But isn't this just like Satan, that evil serpent that opposes us? Whenever we step out and begin to serve people in the name of the Lord, you can be sure he's going to feel the heat. And when he begins to feel the heat, he's going to jump out and he's going to strike. Be ready for it, believer. Don't be surprised by it. If you decide to step up and do something in the name of the Lord and serve him, you're going to get struck by the serpent. Be sure of that. It's just going to happen. That's what he does. That's exactly when he will strike. But God will always be faithful to protect us and to vindicate us in the midst of it. But what's interesting about the strikes of the enemy is when those strikes take place, oftentimes the enemy will also use it as slander and gossip. Why? Because he wants to destroy your reputation. He wants to make you someone that no one would listen to. And some of you have experienced that. Maybe you start sharing in your workplace, and all of a sudden the serpent came out and boom, just struck out of nowhere. And you're like, what is happening here? I had a friend one time that was, you know, being a witness at his workplace, and all of a sudden they begin to accuse him of stealing things. This is one of the guys in the world, last guy in the world who would ever steal anything. And of course, it was proven later he didn't. But it simply came out of the blue. Why? So that the people in the office would begin to not listen to him and not give him any real credence. So understand, when you step out in the name of the Lord, you're going to get struck by the viper, and there's going to be consequences from it. But notice, God is faithful. Look at verse 4. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from Paul's hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer. Look at that. They're just making an assumption, slander, because this snake bit him, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. Now, it's interesting. Justice was a local goddess in that area, actually called Justice. And what they're saying now is, well, Paul made it through the sea. You know, he got out of that one lucky, but he's really a murderer, or he's done something really wicked like all these other prisoners. And so the gods, or the God of Justice or whatever, sent this serpent to bite his hand, and now he's going to die. And we're going to find out, not only is he not going to die, they're dead wrong. God's going to protect him. And God's going to show that God is with him, and the true justice of God will protect Paul. And here they make the same mistake, guys. Note this, that many within the church make today, and that is this. Just because something bad happens in someone's life does not mean they're being judged by the Lord. This is the exact same mistake that Job's friends made with Job. Remember, Job went through all these trials and all this testing, and everybody around Job was saying, well, it's because you're a sinner. You know, you've got this, and you need to repent of that. Now, if there's something in our life we need to repent of, then what do? Repent, right? But sometimes it's because we're doing everything right. Maybe it's because you're warming the fire for other believers. You're serving them. That's when the viper comes out and strikes, because he wants to bring you down. Listen, let's not be guilty of drawing conclusions about our brothers and sisters when we see bad things happen in their life, because we don't know what's going on. And sometimes, again, when the bad things happen, it just shows that they're doing exactly the right thing. And sometimes the more right things you do, the worse the events that happen in your life, because you're a greater threat. So don't be dissuaded by that. Just know that God will be faithful. And notice here it says, justice didn't allow him to live, but he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. The word fastened here is interesting. It means that the viper was hanging on for dear life as tightly as it could. I mean, it struck and bit in hard, and Paul has to really shake this thing to get it off. And again, you know, what is the application for us is, guys, you can know this. When the enemy strikes, he's going to hold on to you as tightly as he can. He's not going to easily let go. And some of you, the enemy may have struck even just recently, and he's bitten into you in some area or whatever the case might be, and he's tormenting you in that area. He's not going to let you go easily. You've got to shake it off. You've got to just run to the Lord and shake it off. And when you're done with it, move on. Because I'll tell you something, what Satan does, he not only strikes and makes us feel really bad about what we've done or the fact that he struck in our life, a lot of times it's hard for us to shake it off. How many of us live in the past and worry about what we did, you know, last week or last month or last year? Listen, today is today, and every morning is new, and God's mercy is new every morning. We need to start new and be fresh every morning and just shake it off and move on, leave it behind. And notice it says here that he shook it off and he suffered no harm. And the same will be true for us. Guys, if we'll simply just shake it off, it's going to be okay. Paul now does this quite literally. Now look at these guys. However, they were expecting that Paul would swell up or suddenly fall down dead, again, because of this viper. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and they said he was a god. Now that's a logical conclusion. Hey, he didn't die. He's a God. You know, I mean, pretty radical change there, okay? But guys, it makes a point. Note this. When you go out and do ministry, people are very fickle. Be ready for that. You can go from hero to zero in no time flat. You can be pouring your life out. You can be ministering. You can make one mistake and you'll go from hero to what? Zero. Don't let that dissuade you. Don't let that discourage you. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. Continue to be faithful to God and continue to minister where God has called you to minister. Paul now, he goes from this basically from zero to hero. He does the opposite here. They think, well, this guy's being judged. The snake has bitten him. God's judging him here. And yet he doesn't die, so he must be a god. The key is simply this, and this is really the point in this. Guys, we can never set our sights on what men think about us. Our sights have to be on whether or not we're pleasing God. I remember as a young pastor, and I've been pastoring now for over 20 years, and so I really don't have this issue anymore, and I'm thankful to the Lord for it. But I remember as a young pastor, if I finished a teaching, I oftentimes thought, Lord, was it any good? I mean, did anybody get fed at all? Did anybody learn anything? And the enemy would always be that I go, no, it was terrible. It was a flop. I have what I call dough balls, you know, and it's almost like you teach and you can tell people are there, but they're kind of going, what? What? How long does this last? You know, and you kind of drop it. It's like, it kind of hits the ground and doesn't go anywhere. A dough ball. And I used to have those dough balls. I still have from time to time. You might think, well, you're having a dough ball. We're having a feast right now, Pastor Mark. But anyway, the bottom line is the enemy would really mess with me. And I finally realized one day, he said, Mark, you've got to stop worrying about whether the people think you did okay. It's whether I think you did okay. Did you say to them what I told you to say? Did you study how I told you to study? Did you do what I told you to do? That's all I'm concerned about. And you're going to find, Mark, that people change from day to day. Don't worry about that. You worry about me. I don't change. I'm constant. I've called you to preach the gospel, and I'll preach it and be faithful to it. And that's a lesson each one of us in here as ministers of the gospel, which you are, you've got to learn that. You've got to set your feelings aside. You've got to set your thoughts aside and say, all right, God, I'm going to let you do what you want, because you're going to run into people that one minute are going to think you're a God. The next minute they think you're going to die, or they think you're going to die. The next minute they think you're a God. Now, in our day, I know nobody's going to think you're really a God, but you get my point. And we also, I think, need to realize how people react to us when the bite of the serpent takes place. People are going to be watching you guys. And when the serpent comes in and bites you in different times and different areas of your life, they're going to find out your reaction. Are you going to swell up and die? Are you going to say, you know what? I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to trust the Lord. That's the true testimony of a believer. When the serpent strikes, to say, I trust the Lord. God will take care of it. I think about Paul in this. Can you imagine being Paul? And even though you knew that God said, Paul, you're going to Rome. I'm taking you to Rome. No doubt Paul had great faith and knew that he was going to get to Rome. But you'd have to think, wow, I just got bit by this island's most deadly viper. People die from this. Most people die from this. And now they're watching me thinking I'm going to die. And I wonder if you sat there for a minute thinking, okay, Lord, here it goes. I mean, you said that I'm going to Rome, you know, so let's wait and see what's going to happen here and we'll go from there. And God was faithful to do it. It's interesting, guys, when we talk about snakes and serpents, it brings up a portion of scripture that I was going to turn to, but we're not going to have time this morning, so I'm going to share it with you. But you probably know what I'm talking about, and that's in Mark 16. The Bible says, those who follow the Lord will take up serpents, they will drink poison, it will not harm them, they'll do all these things, they'll touch and heal the sick, and they'll be healed, and all that, they'll be my witnesses, signs and wonders will follow them, etc. And a lot of people misunderstand that. This is where that application comes in. This is where God says, if we go out in His name, at His call, sharing the gospel, and you accidentally drink something poisonous, or a viper bites you somewhere, God says, if I'm not done with you, if I've sent you on a mission, it will not harm you. The viper venom will not harm you. The poison you drank will not harm you. I will supernaturally protect you. Now, why do I bring that up? Because a lot of believers don't understand what he's talking about in Mark 16. This is what he's talking about right here. And so many people don't understand it. Well, not that many, but some even within what are called the church anyway, actually take up what is called snake handling in their services. Now, we know that all too well in Tennessee and Kentucky, don't we? And if you watch cable, that program that I warned you about is now on in the fall season. Remember I told you there was going to be a special cable show about a snake handling church? It's on now. And I think the enemy's doing that just to make the church look foolish or something where the world can mock and drive more people away. But it's sad for the people that are involved in it because it is a total misunderstanding of Mark 16. You know, the Bible says, do not test the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it's a sin to test the Lord. Remember when Satan was testing Jesus, saying, just jump off the pinnacle. God says nothing will happen to you. His angels will have to float you to the ground and you'll be protected. He said, it is written, you shall not test the Lord your God. In other words, it would be sin to me. I know that God will protect me, Jesus was saying. I understand that, but I'm not going to put God to the test, because if I put God to the test, it's sin. And guys, the snake handling churches, that is sin. It's sin because it is putting God to the test. And it's amazing to me that even the symbol of Satan, the serpent, is the one that he's deceived them in. Isn't that amazing? And so our heart goes out to them. And we need to pray for them, and we have opportunity, we need to share with them. But guys, realize God will be faithful to protect us, but we're never to put God to the test, because when we do that, God says you're putting yourself in harm's way. God never made a promise like that. That's why many of these guys that do that are dying, and I believe that's the way that the enemy mocks the church and even makes Christianity look foolish so that people would not seek out Christianity. Verse 7, well, in that region there was an estate of a leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Again, this particular Publius, he was a leading magistrate, a government figure in the region is what it means. His name literally means popular, which is no doubt indicative of his character, because we're going to see that this guy was very, very kind to them. Notice he brings them in, and for 3 days he entertained them. No doubt he had a large spread. He must have had a large mansion with lots of grounds. There were over 200 people on this ship. And so he brings them in, and no doubt they are putting guard over the prisoners, and the Roman guards are watching them, but he's entertaining them and allowing them to be kept at this place, a very magnanimous man. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery, and Paul went into him and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him. So God does an amazing miracle. And by the way, this is another one of the things Mark 16 talks about. Not only will you not be harmed by serpents or poison, but you'll lay hands on people and heal them. And remember the purpose of that, to spread the gospel, that the gospel might be spread. And now we see that God is using Paul's witness here. As people hear about the miracle done to this man's father, the gospel is going to be spread. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. And they also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Now, it's interesting the language here, because no doubt Paul was praying and other people were supernaturally healed by this. But there's also the language here, the meaning of simple medical attention. People were coming to get prayed for. Paul was praying, but some were simply getting medical attention. How is that possible? Do you remember who's writing this book and who was traveling with Paul? Dr. Luke. And so no doubt Paul's praying for them, and Luke's over there also ministering to their needs on a medical level and taking care of people, and they have a great ministry going on. It's kind of like a big tent set up that's a big missions ministry, if you will, and they're ministering to the people in the region, taking care of their medical needs and taking care of their spiritual needs as well. And so, again, we see God's faithfulness in Mark 16 and what God said would happen in Mark 16 coming into this particular passage today. And notice they honored them in verse 10 in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Again, look how this ends. Ends on the Isle of Malta after a terrible shipwreck. God using Paul in such huge ways that all the Roman prisoners and soldiers with him leave with provisions and great honor. What a testimony. Again, this was the life of Paul. And this needs to be the kind of life that we live, guys. Everywhere we go, being a testimony unto the Lord. And God will do the same for us if we do this. And guys, note this lastly here. This was interesting to me. How many of you guys feel like your life is a shipwreck right now? My life is a shipwreck. God can't use me. Oh, really? God just changed an entire island called Malta by a shipwreck that a Christian went through. Here's my point. It is often the shipwrecks in your life that God uses as the greatest testimony for the people around you. How does he do that? How did she survive that? They're still witnessing. They're still smiling. They're still living for the Lord. I could never have done that. You could if you had Jesus Christ. And let me tell you what you need to do to receive him. See, that's how the gospel works. So guys, if you're here today saying, God could never use me, my life is a shipwreck. Well, sometimes that's how God uses you to the greatest. When your life is a shipwreck. And not only is it a place where God can use you in great ways, if you're doing what God has called you to do, it's the safest place in the world that you can be. You know, the temptation when you step out of ministry is to step away from ministry, because sometimes when the serpent strikes, you get tired of it. I'm tired of getting bitten. Let somebody else get bitten for a while, right? But guys, let me tell you something. When you're in the middle of God's will, even when you get bitten, God will be faithful to protect you. It is the safest place you can be. And although sometimes it may end in shipwreck, God will take even that shipwreck and use it for his glory. So, fellow shipwrecked passengers for the Lord, be a witness this week. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be all shiny. You don't have to have all your ducks in order. You may be grabbing onto a piece of stick, swimming as hard as you can, hoping you're going to make it to shore. You will. And when you get there, you're going to find it's an escape and a place of sweetness, and it's going to be a place where God's going to use you oftentimes in greater ways than you've ever been used before. Trust Him and watch Him work. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness. Lord, Your faithfulness to Paul, Your faithfulness to us, Your faithfulness, Lord God, to use us even when our lives are a shipwreck. Lord, You're faithful to take these shipwrecked lives and use them for Your glory. God, I just pray for any of my brothers and sisters in here this morning that may be living a life of shipwreck right now. They're thinking, God could never use me. I can't even get my own house in order. Lord, I just pray that You would let them know that not only will You use them, but God, You will use them in greater ways than they ever dreamed or imagined. It's not about us, Lord. It's about You. And it's about Your power. And it's about Your glory. So, Father, we thank You, Lord, for this morning. We thank You for the ministry of Your Spirit. And, Lord, for all that You've done for us. God, just minister to Your flock. Strengthen Your people. And use us this week, God, in the midst of all that we go through, shipwreck and all, to be a witness and a testimony to You. We love You, Lord Jesus. We thank You, God. Fill us, anoint us, and send us out now in Your name. And we ask it in Jesus' name.